Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pennywise Podcast, the best pod around for personal finance. We're part of the Lee Enterprises Podcast Network and brought to you in partnership with Wallet Hub, the best personal finance app in the whole wide world. You can sign up for Wallet Hub to save money, improve your credit, and budget better. I'm your host, John Kiernan. I'm the managing editor at Wallet Hub, and I've been covering personal finance for more than 15 years. My goal is to help you manage your money better and hopefully, just hopefully, have a little bit of fun in the process. Today, we're talking about making sure you have the right bank accounts for your lifestyle and goals. Whether you already have a bank account that's barely getting the job done or you're looking to open your first solo account, there's a lot more upside here than you might think. Bank accounts aren't all the same. They differ a lot in terms of their fees, their minimum balance and deposit requirements, APYs, accessibility, customer service, and more. So making the wrong choice here can actually end up costing you a lot of money over the years. After all, most people don't switch bank accounts all that often. We have a great guest joining us here momentarily who can provide some helpful points on exactly what to look for and what not to do. But in the meantime, I've got a few stats that I think can help illustrate what's at stake here. First of all, the average checking account APY is just 0.07%, while the average savings account APY is only 0.38%. So it's no surprise that around 56% of people say they're not satisfied with the interest rate on their bank account, and 3 in 5 people say the money in their bank account is not keeping up with inflation. That might also explain why more than 1 in 3 Americans believe their bank is actually taking advantage of them. That's a big statement there. The good news here is that you can earn around 4% APY with some of the best accounts. So you just need to look and compare options and find one that works for you. Similarly, while the average monthly fee on a branch-based checking account is $5.30, there are plenty of options that don't have to cost you a thing. And a lot of people are in the market for an upgrade. At the beginning of the year, we found that 51% of people said they plan to open a new bank account in the next 12 months. If you're in that boat and interested in opening a new bank account, we've got you covered. For one thing, Wallet Hub makes it easy to find the best bank accounts for your needs. You can easily reference our editor's picks for the best checking accounts, best savings accounts, and more. You can also compare hundreds of bank accounts yourself to find exactly what you're looking for. On top of all that, you have to be hopeful about a bank account upgrade when you have Operation Hope on your side. And our guest today is Kevin Boucher, Chief Communications Officer and Strategy Officer for Operation Hope, which is an organization dedicated to finding new and innovative ways to promote financial literacy for all. Hey, Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
For starters, before we get really into the nitty-gritty of finding the right bank account, can you tell the listeners a little bit about Operation Hope and its financial literacy efforts?
You bet. Thank you. So Operation Hope was founded 34 years ago in Los Angeles by John Hope Bryant, and we've now become the largest nonprofit in the U.S. on the ground dedicated to financial literacy and economic empowerment and really helping people find their own economic self-determination, if you will, and kind of how we work. I call it like we provide like personal trainers for your finance. So just like a personal trainer gets under the hood, develops a plan, picks you up when you get off the wagon, so to speak, for physical fitness. We do the same for financial. So we offer financial coaching and help people improve their credit scores, reduce their debt, and build savings. And our signature program is called Hope Inside, and they operate inside bank branches, corporate headquarters, and community locations across the country. We're in 300 cities in the U.S. and serving 1,500 locations. And the main purpose is really to help folks achieve not just getting a better credit score or start a business or own a home, but really find ways to participate in the free enterprise system. And an important point is we don't charge anything. All our services are underwritten through our partners, and we never sell any products or any services. So everything we do is at no cost to the individual. And we're not trying to upsell or provide anything outside of just the coaching.
Gotcha. I mean, it sounds really important, really necessary. I'm sure a lot of our listeners could benefit that. And maybe they've even seen some of your location somewhere and didn't really know what it was. And now you guys can go out and approach the Operation Hope people, and hopefully they can
give you some guidance. And it definitely sounds like a lot of people could benefit from that these days.
Absolutely. And we have a fully online digital programs as well, and virtual coaches and virtual coaching and AI coaching. So even if we don't have a location near you physically, you can still access our programs and services.
Nice, nice. And I guess now to get to the topic at hand, you mentioned some locations and bank branches and things like that. Mm-hmm. One thing that everyone knows, I think they, most people know they need a bank account or they should have one, but a lot of times their thinking kind of stops there and they think a bank account is a bank account. What advice do you have for someone who wants to open a new bank account? Maybe it's their first time or mm-hmm. not. And does that advice change at all based on how experienced you are?
I think so. So I think the most important thing is to start with your needs mm-hmm. and not the brand. So, especially after even the 2008 economic crisis, that people look for stability, as you should, and brands are important and brands are consistent. They're there for a reason, but that's not enough, especially if you're opening your first account. So look at your needs and ask, what kind of ATM access do you need? I think you should really be looking out for low fees, higher yield savings, if you can get a hold of that, and also a relationship with a local banker. You want to feel wanted and you want to feel like they want your business, not like they're doing you a favor, especially if you're newer. People may want to intimidate you or get you to sign up for things you don't need or don't want. So walking in very clearly, understanding what your needs are, depending on your geography, your earning, your convenience. You may work a day shift and need or night shift and need access to ATMs and money in the evening. So those are things to consider. And really the most important thing, I think, is read the fee schedule before you sign anything, because banks make their money off of these fees. So there's monthly maintenance fees, there's overdraft charges, there's minimum balance requirements, especially that's a big one. Mm-hmm. And ask about the tools they offer. And I think for first timers, simplicity is really most important. And finding, like I just said, about lower fees and so on. But for veterans, if you've been exposed or you've been involved in the banking system and you've kind of built some equity up in your accounts, you might want to look for investment opportunities and other areas where you can grow your money. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about putting money in, it's about how you grow your money and put your money to work for you.
Gotcha. So kind of in the beginning, start with simplicity, keep fees low, go with convenience and kind of whatever your needs are. And as you get more used to it, you can get more advanced and try to kind of take things to the next level.
Precisely.
Gotcha. Related to that, should everyone have at least one checking account and one savings account? I know there are a lot of kind of combo accounts now where you get one of each, or do you just have a checking account? Should we start there?
I think it's important, especially if you're trying to grow your money or you're in the beginning stages, but even as a vet, so to speak, at a minimum, a checking account and a savings account for an emergency fund, mixing them together is where people get into trouble, or not having that savings and being disciplined about savings. It's the best investment you can make in yourself is to find a way to start saving, even if it's $5 a week, $20 a week, whatever it is, because the inclination, and we all have this, is if we don't have a pattern or an automatic withdrawal or something that's going to grow your savings, we're going to spend it. It gets mixed, commingled. We're going to convince ourselves we have more than we have. So it's kind of like ordering a bigger portion at dinner, right? If you have it in front of you and it's your favorite meal, you're probably going to eat a large chunk of it. So the psychological aspect of separation matters as much as the financial growth piece of it. And emergencies happen. More than half Americans don't have enough for a $300 emergency in their savings account. So we all know there's surprises with medical bills, deductibles you didn't count on, cars break down annually. That just happens to every single one of us. So insurance premiums go up, plumbing breaks. There's all kinds of things that can happen. So when we're living paycheck to paycheck, like most Americans are these days, there's not room for even a small emergency. So not only will it help grow for your future to buy a home or start a business or invest or retirement, et cetera, those long-term big goals, but just getting through your year alone is important.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, especially the psychological aspect of things. And I feel like having everything mixed in and you're not really sure whether you can afford it, that kind of naturally leads to higher stress levels, and in the back of your mind, it's gnawing at you, can I deal with this emergency that's going to inevitably come up? But if you have those separate accounts, you can kind of more clearly see, and I think that can help people lower their blood pressure a little bit. And the other thing you're talking about, automation, that's definitely, we see it help people a lot. Like if you can automate a small transfer from your checking to your savings the day you get your paycheck or the day after, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, and you don't really miss it as much as if it's kind of staring you in the face along with the other money you have left to spend.
Absolutely. And if you think about it, a lot of the most folks have a 401k that their employer offers, that sometimes even matching, which people should absolutely take advantage of. And one thing that people don't know is most of these 401ks are pre-tax. So the contribution comes out of your gross pay, and you only pay taxes on what's left. So a lot of times you can end up taking home a larger paycheck each week while you're actually contributing in your 401k. So it's a double win. You're taking home more money and you're saving without even knowing it. So you can play around with your percentages depending on your earnings, and you're never stuck on that contribution. You can change it every payroll period. So I actually just upped mine, and I had a pretty good increase in my take home over that. So without even knowing it, it was an unexpected gift. So that's everywhere, whether you're an hourly earner or part-time worker, all the way up to a corporate six-figure salary.
Yeah, I definitely don't think most people know that. So that's really good advice. And that kind of brings me to my next question, I guess, not doing what you just said, reevaluating your contributions to maximize your take home, that would probably qualify as a kind of banking mistake, if you will. What are some other ones, some other common mistakes that people make with their bank accounts?
Yeah, so I would say two really big ones. We talked about the fees at the top, but overdraft fees alone are the number one. They cost Americans billions of dollars every year. So it's one of these preventable things that cost Americans, especially those who have who can least afford it, are getting hit. It's like a double tax on you, and it's unnecessary. And I understand people live paycheck to paycheck, and everyone's trying to scramble and cover bills and inflation, but these overdraft fees are just costing everybody more. So avoiding them or finding an account that doesn't charge them or can get them waived is really important. And I think another thing that people don't understand is the subscriptions and fee increases and deals that you had with your cell phone company that expire after a year, not reading your statements monthly, even just skimming them through, you'll see charges that you didn't know happen. One of the number one contributions to your credit scores going down or being bad is charges that weren't yours, mistaken charges outside of healthcare and medical bills. So being on top of your statements each month, doesn't take that long. You'll find all sorts of good things there. And like, I have a rule, some of us were scarred from the old cell phone service days when it was like a dollar a minute. We'd all get these surprise bills of like $1,000, $2,000, and go, what happened? And so I me personally, is just something I do. I don't put my DirecTV, I don't put my cell phone, and I don't put my utilities on auto pay. It's the only bills I don't put on auto pay, because there's always increases you don't know about. You know, they'll get you to sign up for a monthly plan and really not realizing it expires in 12 months or 6 months, so your bill can increase. So you won't know that these things are happening if you're not on top of it. And I think another thing, once you're building up some cash, keeping it in a zero interest checking account. I had one in a savings for years. I was just putting bonuses away, and I wasn't investing it because I was afraid. I was afraid to make a wrong move, and I worked so hard to build it up. I was afraid to lose it. But that's just foolish. There's all kinds of vehicles that I could invest in with a return, which is, you know, even a 5% return is better than a 0%, which is what I was getting just sitting on it.
Yeah, exactly. And when you look at even just checking accounts, the average is extreme. I think it's 0.07% for the APY. But if you compare accounts enough, like, there are options out there that give some pretty decent returns, and some high yield savings accounts that can pay more than 4%. So
exactly.
Yeah, there are definitely some options that aren't too risky. Speaking, I guess, of kind of mistakes maybe, and people maybe getting like a little bit of a narrow box in terms of what they're willing to consider with their banking, Do you find that people get too focused on big national banks and don't give enough attention to local banks and credit unions? For example, at Wallet Hub, we do a lot of research. We do a quarterly banking landscape report, and credit unions tend to really perform well, and small local banks in terms of especially APYs and low fees.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Regional banks, local banks, credit unions, they're kind of the engine that really powers the financial services system, at least in the U.S. especially. Much of America is rural. Much of America doesn't have access to a lot of the industries and convenience that major metropolitan areas do. But what's great about a local bank and a credit union, especially a credit union, they're member owned, which means their incentive is to serve you and not shareholders. So that is a huge distinction. And typically, as you spoke to, they're going to offer lower rates on loans and higher savings and fewer fees. And you'll have that relationship there. I've even found it's easier to get loans approved a lot, especially for first-time car buyers or homeowners. You really build a relationship there. The only trade-off is, you know, there's fewer branches. But again, if you're in a more remote area, that's probably not an issue. And that gap is actually closing fast. And, you know, and also the money you put in there might be supporting you and your neighbors. They're helping your neighbors buy a home or start a business, or that money, a lot of the community banks are they're funding local developers to improve, build new schools or build new apartments and housing. So a lot of the money that goes into these community banks and credit unions filters back into the community. So I think they play an incredibly important role, and especially and are vetted and trusted and regulated. So your money's safe in these institutions. There's a lot of upside, especially for people who are newer, looking to open accounts, get their first home, get their first car. Especially the credit unions put so many people into their first vehicle, so they're an incredible asset.
It might be a little more friendly too, a little less intimidating. And I guess people,
exactly.
So a lot of our listeners probably don't want to be putting more money into kind of big bankers who are making millions of dollars per year. They'd rather give it to their neighborhood banker who's part of the community. I think that's definitely
precisely
for people.
Precisely.
And my last question is, how often do you think that people should be switching bank accounts? I mean, people get their first bank account every day, but then oftentimes they'll hold that for 15, 20 years, for example.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's much like your first question. It really is no one size fits all. It depends on where you are on your journey and what your needs are, right? Mm-hmm. I've been with, I've been with the same bank for 20 plus years, but that works for me. And part of it was through acquisition as well. So you don't want to switch for the sake of switching, but you don't stay out of laziness either, you know, out of convenience. So I would recommend reviewing your banking relationship at least once a year, you know, the same way you'd review your subscriptions or your insurance coverage, and look at, you know, are you paying fees you shouldn't? Are your rates competitive? Or is your bank slow creeping in, raising fees and the services declining? And you're not getting the flexibility you want. So it goes back to really your first question, like, what do you look for when you're starting? Mm-hmm. Same thing as your journey continues, is what are your needs? Because your needs are different at 25 than they are at 45, right? Mm-hmm. So what may be good in your beginning journey may be different when you've got a more complex portfolio, or you're trying to buy a home and you've got kids and college savings or any of those other goals you may be trying to do. So it really just should just be part of your regular yearly evaluation of your both your, you know, your physical, your financial health, all your well-being aspects. Take a look at it every year and go, is this still working for me? What do I need today? And maybe your bank is meeting those needs, or your credit union, and that's fantastic, right? But at least reevaluate and don't just stay because you think it's going to be too hard to switch. It's really not. Everything can be done electronically in the push of a button these days, usually on a phone call.
Yeah, that's great advice for people. You got your yearly checkup, and don't be too afraid. They'll try to, maybe some of the bankers might try to make it seem like it's going to be harder than it is to switch over or whatever, but it's not as bad.
Exactly.
Good thing. That's some great advice. I really appreciate you coming on. I think you've given us a lot to learn and to act on. Thanks a lot, and we'll have to have you back on soon.
My pleasure. Anytime. Thanks so much for having me.
Kevin gave us some great advice there. Focus on your needs and your lifestyle.
Don't worry about the brand. Make sure you're not leaving money on the table out of laziness. Start simple, keep increasing as you get more comfortable. And perhaps most importantly, there's plenty of help out there if you need it. Now it's time for you to put these pointers to good use. So if you're in the market for a new bank account, head straight over to wallethub.com or whip out the app and get to comparing. Comparison shopping is really the best way to find the best terms, and a lot of other comparison sites out there don't really let you compare that many offers. All right, I think that's about it for today. As always, it's been a whole lot of fun learning a little bit more about money with all of you. So please, if you would, let's do it again soon. Because if you're not penny wise, banking fees could be a very costly surprise, and you might even see triple zeros next to all of your APYs. Thanks again to Lee Enterprises and Wallet Hub for helping put this all together, and thanks to you for listening.